Be on your best behavior, Sabine.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Sabine.
Good morning. Watch out what you're saying.
Yeah, Sabine's in the house. Oh, here comes Ryan. Yeah, I figured more people would jump in today, so let's just give everyone a minute.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, Brandy, how's... Go ahead, Kevin.
No, you go ahead. It's your meeting.
Hey, I want to say, hey, Brandy, how's it going?
It's going good. I'm finally home after traveling all week, but I love the show that I went to. It was amazing.
Yeah,
What
yeah.
show?
Your
Yeah,
show.
right now. Don't leave us in suspense.
Sex Live.
The only show.
Oh. How was it, Sabine? I mean, how was the feedback? How did it go?
You gotta ask everybody else because the feedback to me, everybody was very friendly and everybody loved it. We got amazing feedback, but ask everybody else. They probably, behind my back say something else. What do
No, actually, no, they don't. They're not saying anything behind your back at all.
Thank you.
They know you very well enough to know that that's just not a good idea. And second of all, you're so no nonsense that it doesn't make sense to do anything like that. So, and honestly, I didn't hear a single bad word, not one.
Right. I mean, they're talking behind your back, but it's all good stuff.
Oh, well, then we're good.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Are you guys in the same office or what?
Yeah, you see that
It's a trick.
It's a backdrop.
Oh, his is real. Mine is a picture of his.
Okay, I know his is real because I asked him about it. So this is why I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah, you got
Cool.
to make him move the lamp and stuff. I can't move the lamp.
Yeah, it's a little weird because Eric's is a little closer and Kevin's is a little further away. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was, but it's pretty cool for a backdrop, I have to say.
Yeah, it's vinyl. I got it at Home Depot. A lot of our business now is done online, right? So you have to kind of have some sort of. Me and my wife did this over a weekend. It's just vinyl from Home
You
Depot.
laid it brick by brick,
Brick
hand by hand, and
by
oh my God, the
Installed that
gravity.
wiring for the neon.
Yeah, it's roll to roll bricks. Who would have known?
And these neons, these things are LEDs. So they're super cheap. They're not hot. And a lot of people are offering like these LED lights that you
Like the
can
tactical one?
like, yeah. Yeah.
I need to rearrange my office. I don't have to
I
figure
think
it out.
you're too subtle for this kind of messaging. I don't know. Just I know
Yeah.
your style.
No,
Oh, yeah.
but it's thank you. But
Yeah.
it's well. And I know you're waiting for a few people to show up more, Matt, but did you see Scout Driscoll's video?
No, I did not. Oh, well, I saw a composite where you had all the different speakers.
No, she on her own behalf, which Gary will appreciate, posted a video with, she's like, okay, it was great to be a speaker, but the highlight was the samples and all the embellishments. And so for those of you who do not know, she's somebody who prints, I don't know how many million wine labels or designs them for
Yeah.
Cooper Hawk and their 20 or God knows how many sub brands. And she was just blown away by what is possible digital these days. And I'm thinking, if she doesn't know, we still have a lot of work to do, people.
Who is she?
Yeah.
Who is she?
Okay. She Scout Driscoll owns a Design Scout. She has a sub-brand, if you will. She directed that a little bit during COVID because she does a lot of restaurant business, she and her team, and obviously COVID da. And so she went into more heavily into wine and spirits, and she basically designs all the labels for Cooper's Hawk. Is it Cooper's Hawk? And there
Really?
are 20 sub-brands, or God knows how many sub-brands they have. Award-winning label, runs hundreds of thousands of labels for each SKU, and she was blown away by all the digital
Wow,
options.
she didn't know that stuff was possible. That's amazing. See, that's what we're talking
That's what I'm,
about
yeah,
evangelism.
go ahead.
Evangelizing digital embellishments. If they don't know, imagine how many other people don't know.
Okay, my point.
Right.
Yeah,
Well,
her
also
presentation was really good. She did Pardon? A good job.
Yeah.
And her talk was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could have seen it, but I had to, after that morning, I was just like, I need to go lay down for a minute. Honestly, that just took the life out of me.
Really? Really?
Oh my gosh. Four in a row like that was just kind of, I don't know.
People learned a lot. And
oh, they did. They did. And what surprised
me. Yeah, go ahead.
What surprised me the most was what they did not know.
I just wanted to ask you. Yeah.
So, and that was actually a lot. I did kind of a hands up. Hey, everyone, you know, please let me know if you've dealt with spot colors before. Are you familiar with Fifth Station? You know how to design for this, or you've done embellishment design. How many feel like you're proficient or almost mm-hmm. expert at it? A couple mm-hmm. hands went up. And then another question was, how many here are absolutely completely clueless?
Yeah.
Now, in one of the four sessions, nobody raised their hand at all. And
well,
I'm
sorry, they're designers. You can't put them on the spot like that.
Oh, no. I'm like, it's okay. It's okay to admit it. It's fine. There's no judgments yeah. here. But one session, there were no hands. And the other three sessions, there were definitely hands that went up. And I made, Sabine, I made sure to congratulate them. I'm like, thank you. Good. Thank you for letting us know that. Because now we can fix it.
Yeah.
So if we don't know where the stalemate or the roadblock is, how do we know how to fix it?
And they don't know what they don't know.
Well, that's true.
Well, they
true.
Don't know that they don't know, whichever way you want to put it.
Yeah. So Ryan, you were there. Eric, you were there.
Right.
I think, hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, good.
Oh, look who's here.
Hey.
We're getting the band back together.
Yeah. So anyway, it was an amazing experience finding out what people do and don't know. And that's why my entire I tell them in the beginning, okay, folks, we got 130 slides to go through. And they're like,
you had 130 slides?
Yes. Oh. And some people negotiated. They're like, can we just do 129? I'm like, sure, we'll skip them. But it was, you know, and I asked, Alex, how many slides he had, and he had like, what, 23, 25, but he also had animations and other presentations built into his slides. Yeah. Mine was just like, boom, 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 boom. This is what's possible. Look at this, 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 look at this. Yeah. And we talked about using layers and swatches, and I called them all out. If you're not using layers, and I'm dealing with it again this morning. Oh my gosh, these files that come in, I'm like, you're making my job so difficult. Layers and swatches, layers and swatches, layers and swatches. So
well, Matt, one person who raised their hand and said, I know everything was Ryan, obviously.
Ryan knows his stuff.
Ryan knows
Ryan's really
stuff.
Good. Ryan's
all right. Right.
Upgraded.
I mean, that's just giving me a great education on this, right? I mean, from starting out, yeah, I knew next to nothing on how to design for it, but now it's like I have really good best practices, and I think I'm now in the same boat when I get a file from someone and it comes in and I have to dive down, I don't know, 20 layers deep to find one piece of this whole banner, and now I have to go find the rest of the piece.
Yeah.
Can you please just put it in its own layer? I'd really appreciate that. But I feel your pain, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, it's really design 101 is what it really comes down to. But a lot of people just have never used the idea of technology. And I know it takes a little getting used to. You're just used to doing something that way. And then you expect pre-press to sort it out. But my issue, and one thing that I really tried to drive home during these sessions, and Ryan, you may remember, Brandy, that what you intend as a designer needs to be in your file. And if it's not in your file, then someone has to second guess you. And that might not be what you intended to come off of the press.
Yeah.
Exactly. As simple as that. So it's a form of communication.
Matt, Sabine, I thought we have a bunch of new guests here. I don't know if they want to introduce themselves to our new community that is growing every month that we're joining. I don't know if anybody wants to introduce themselves. If this is your first time, feel free. If you're shy, then we totally get it. No worries.
Well, hello, Lucio. My name is Hans. I'm from Europe. I'm with Konica Minolta. I've been I know Kevin for many years, and I heard about this.
Sorry about that.
It took me a few years to get over, but hey, I'm not to re-engage. So, I'm just here to kind of check this out because this may also be something we could promote more here in Europe. So,
Welcome, Hans. I have that exact print.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Hans, do you see a big difference with how designers are designing for embellishments in Europe compared to what you see here in the United States?
Good question. I don't really know yet because I'm not based in the US, so I don't know what you guys design. That's one of the reasons why I'm here to kind of listen in on how you guys are doing this and what's hot, what's working, what's not working, etc. So maybe ask me next session, Kevin.
Very good. Well, welcome to our community, Hans.
Sure.
All right. Anybody else want to introduce themselves?
Kevin, I might just introduce myself because I haven't been able to get on this specific call. Jeff Peterson, I'm with the Foil Specialty Effects Association, and many of you also are involved with our Digital Embellishment Alliance, so we certainly appreciate that, and we're helping sponsor Matt's monthly design meetup here, and we're very happy to do that, and so I'm, certainly want to try to jump on as much as I can, and if anybody has any questions on our DEA Digital Embellishment Alliance, feel free to let me know or zap me an email. But glad to be here and glad to participate.
Thanks for your support, Jeff, and welcome to our community. We're happy to have you.
I'll jump in. My name's Gary Bibler. I'm Director of Creative New Business at K-Laser, CFEU unit. We manufacture holographic gold foil and registered hologram. So I'm actually in the process. We are in the process of getting our design lab up and running. We're in Sarasota, Florida. Mr. Peterson's been here. We've had an open house with a couple guest speakers. Yep. So I thank you for having this event and looking forward to seeing more about what you guys did.
And if anyone is passionate about what he does, it's this man here, Gary Bibler. And we had a long discussion at Sabine's after party, what was 5:30 to 8:30, hors d'oeuvres, and everyone was set up with their booths and everyone was talking. I got out of the elevator, and what was it, the ninth floor? So nice and quiet in the elevator. That door opened. I'm like, whoa, what are we walking into here? This was just insane. But it was a really good chance to talk with this man and everything foil and the markets and the trends and the designs and the colors. It's just an absolutely enlightening experience.
Wait, so Gary, you make the foils? You manufacture the
different? Yeah, so I'll give you a little bit of my background because it's funny Matt just mentioned. So it might seem I'm a salesperson, but I've been a creative director for 28 years. So I'm very passionate about talking about file setup, design, and getting a designer what they want out of a creative process. So what I saw at the sessions was fantastic. It's exactly what I've always believed in, and it's something really needed because designers, like Sabine said, a lot of them are very, very shy. They don't want to be outgoing. Most people don't want to admit what they don't know, but they know they've seen these things, but they don't know where it comes from. How do you get it? How do you acquire it? Can you make custom processes? And I have a custom hologram. How does that happen? Just little things like that.
That was a huge hit, by the way, Gary. You know that, right? The holograms were a huge hit.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I figured they would be. And the more we can put it out in front of the creatives, the better. This is something that really only big brands work with in the past that know a lot about it. But it doesn't mean that smaller brands or independent graphic designers can't utilize this. So it's very important. So, but yeah, it's... I really enjoyed Paper Specs Live. It was fantastic.
Great. Cool. And one thing I might add, and I know with Gary's company, K-Laser, they do specialize in the cold foil area, and certainly some of the digital embellishment presses are really a cold foil type of process, along with the inkjet UV or UV adhesive. Some work a little differently. So certainly, I'm sure, Gary, that there's products that you are providing foil wise that can be utilized in some of the digital embellishment engines.
We have a litany of our newest product is called, I won't take a lot of time, but it's called Viridian Paperboard. It's a foil board. And we have the most holographic patterns of anyone in the world right now.
Very cool.
And our foil board, the best part about it is recyclability.
Yeah.
There's no film involved with it. It's cold foil on paper. That's it. So it's something that everyone's concerned about. And that's why we did our due diligence to try to, produce a product that can be earth friendly. So.
Great.
Very cool. Thank you very much. Anybody else want to introduce yourself? Anybody else new to this little community? We have RV, Natalie, Narissa, Warren.
I can talk.
Narissa.
Hey, I'm Narissa. I work with Gary actually at KeyLaser. And I am a designer. And just a few years ago, I did not know as much about foil. Like Gary said, I've seen it a lot. I love how it looks. But I've never actually gotten to work with it. I guess it was considered, on the more expensive end. And I always worked in a school setting, so I would do school promotions and stuff. So they never wanted to get into that. But since I started working at KeyLaser, I understand both sides. So I am an introvert and I don't really speak, but I really like to understand how things get set up, because I feel like if you understand that, you can really maximize on how you want your designs to look. And coming from the other side now, I feel like it's so important to teach designers how to make their designs happen and get it from their head to the paper. And there is so much in between that I think a lot of designers aren't taught, and they don't know how to set it up. And so there's always this problem between and disconnect between the designer and the printer. And a lot of times it's kind of like a gray area, and it all depends on how nice your printer wants to be to you and how helpful. And sometimes it really works out beautifully and sometimes it doesn't. But we are here and we have our design lab, and we are trying to teach designers how to work with foil, how to make it happen, how to fill in all the gaps and make your printer happy and not hate you, and how to make your projects beautiful. So this is exciting. I'm excited.
Very cool, Narissa. Hey, if you have one piece of advice with everything that you're seeing to designers working with foil, what would be your number one piece of advice for everybody?
Your number one piece of advice? I mean, there's a lot, but number one piece of advice with foil. I really think that it is about your file setup, I think, because if it's not set up properly, like Matt said, there's just this gray area of, okay, well, the printer is going to now figure out what it is that you want, and it might not be that. So if you don't have it set up properly, there's a good chance that as beautiful as you might want it to be, it might not end up coming out that way. So yeah, understanding it and setting it up right.
Can I get one? Can I add to that?
Go ahead.
All right. So that was a really good point that Narissa had. The other, which is incredibly ironic, is that we are all in a visual world. And you would think what I'm going to say is going to be obvious, but whenever we send out our pattern guides, we have, agencies and creative teams look at it, and they fall in love with a pattern, a wallpaper pattern, hologram. And they're not consciously thinking about where is the end result of this going to print, going to be used in this design?
And sorry to interrupt. And sure. At what scale?
Right. That's where I'm going. So they fall, you know, they fall in love with the pattern. You know, they'll have the pattern, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I love that pattern. And they don't think about it's going to go in a 4-point key line. So they, you know, then they finally see if they're lucky to see a proof, but they see something that are like, it looks like silver. And it doesn't look, oh, I can't see the waves. I can't, they were little butterflies on this watch. Of course there were, but that was in a 1-inch area, but not in a certain, you know, design element of the graphic. So that is a huge thing we see. Wow. So, and that's one of the reasons that we actually produce mock-ups here free of service for our customers, because I'll actually jump in and kind of veto the creative director and throw in a couple extra patterns I think might work best. Mm-hmm. So they can see before they go to press where they're headed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sorry about that.
No, that's really good
info. Yeah. Good. Now, anyone else?
Oh, Natalie is bobbing her head along. I'd love to. I
can go next. So I'm Natalie. I just graduated like in the spring. So I'm very new to all of this, but I'm trying to learn like how to make my portfolio more niche. So that's what I'm trying to work
right
on.
Place.
So what are you gravitating towards the whole idea of the embellishments, the feel, the tactile effect of it? What is it that's drawing you to it?
I think embellishments is it's definitely very unique, but I think it's very good for like adaptability and for people with disabilities. Like it's definitely more like the texture, the feel. Like I think that's important to design as well.
That's actually, Matt worked on a really interesting project on exactly that, Natalie, where we did a project with, Matt, you probably want to talk about it. It's your project.
I'm actually still working on it, Kevin. It's like another new batch of symbols comes to life as of like last week. And it's just this ongoing thing because Victoria Watts at the Siren System, her son was born, blind. And so through the learning process, she has, I think, four other children or three other children, all normal kids. But Cyrus was a challenge for her in understanding what it meant to have a sight impairment and how that affected your daily life to the point where you're using her classic example is you pick up the hemorrhoid cream instead of the toothpaste or the shampoo or the conditioner because the bottles are almost always exactly the same. So you're going by feel, and so why not take advantage of feel? Only 10% of people who are sight impaired know Braille. Only 10%. And that's probably a overestimation, because with any language, you're only so proficient in, you know, how well you practice it. So maybe there's people who like broken Braille, and they're counting them in as that 10%, which I don't think should count. But she has come up with her own set of symbols that are tactile, highly raised. I'm using 306 microns of varnish.
Can you show and tell a little?
I don't have a piece here because I didn't know that we were going to discuss it. But
you guys, I'll look for one.
Everything with Kevin in the room, you know that.
Yeah. I'm not anywhere near my desk, so I don't have that. But it's a small sticker that you stick on things, and you have a QR code that they can scan, which you don't need vision to do that. And it tells you the arrangement of everything on the sheet. There's a row of dots around each sticker, and then each sticker has a symbol on it that means a specific thing. So that way they know where to peel it. They have the instructions on which one is which. So they just follow around this one, this one, this one, this one. They can count them and they know which one is which. And it apparently works very well. And it's still in kind of beta. She's done proof of concept. And now she's moving on with a brand that's actually going to adopt. And I'm very proud of her. Oh, cool. But it's what we call functional print when it comes to embellishment.
Yeah, it's like raised emojis. And just real quick, because you have some users on here, to do 300 microns thickness, there's got to be like a recipe to be able to get that build that's readable by the finger. And I know you did a lot of testing on that. What is your recipe to build out that thickness?
Okay, well, there's a whole recipe on just exactly what goes on that sheet.
Right.
Because the QR code is also covered in varnish. And so it only gets one layer. So it only gets 102 microns. It's just one pass. It's one pass, two pass, three pass. Each one is 102. And each one, so on the second pass and third pass, we're not covering the lines, the dots, and the QR again. We're just covering the symbols themselves on the second and third pass. Look at me giving away all my trade secrets. But then what happens also is that for each layer that you have, you shrink it slightly from edge to edge. You literally shave off a pixel so that it builds up more of a sharp ridge or pyramid at the top. So one pass, two pass, three pass, you have to have perfect registration to do it. And then it's usually put on like a PET, a polyethylene, which is extremely smooth and takes the varnish really well. And you have to have like a scraper to get that varnish off of there. So it's pretty yeah. permanent.
But that 300 microns is what I think she tested that was the easiest to read. So
yeah.
if you guys are wondering to do functional embellishments, that's I think the number that you want to hit based on there. all the testing that she's done with her students.
Yeah, so these symbols are usually like 3/4 inch wide. She's experimenting with some smaller ones that we're probably going to use a lesser coverage on because you can only put so much varnish in one little space.
Very cool.
Brandy.
Yeah, so when you said you tighten it for each pass,
uh-huh.
is that a file layer thing or is that something you're doing on press?
I'm doing it on press, and that's the beauty of the machine that I use is I can actually go in and expand or contract the outer part of each piece of what's on that. I just marquee what I want. I say add one pixel or remove one pixel or two or three or four or five or half of one. And that way I can draw it out or spread it in.
So how would you, as a designer, tell the printer that that's what he has to do? Does that come in the notes? Is that the printer's job to know?
That's communication. That's where you have to really be a good communicator when it comes to graphic design. And maybe that doesn't fall under the graphic designer. Maybe the graphic designer is doing the design or the layout, and then when it goes to pre-press, they have to have that instruction from the people, like the salespeople or the manufacturer, like Victoria would have to relay that information because she and I came up with it, prototyping, and then she may go to another printer, say down in Texas, and then right. she has to be able to relay that. I don't relay that information as the designer. She does.
Okay.
But aren't we back to the designer needs to know the four possibilities in the first place, and the designer needs to express the intent of what the outcome is.
In this case, I don't.
Go ahead.
In this case, I don't think it falls on the designer because a designer doesn't know what the group outcome was from testing.
But in what I'm trying to say in general, and Natalie is going to back me up here, because we might not know, oh my God, we might think, oh my God, we have like, a brandy that, we have to have different layers, but we don't. So I wonder if the importance in the first place is the intent of what we're trying to achieve.
Right.
And
well,
so
for
that clearly, and then with the printers, hopefully with the printer's help and guidance, set up the files the way they work, or even there's no extra work required.
Yeah. I mean, if the designer wants to go to that point, that'd be a lot of extra work. But this particular case, this functional print thing that we're working on with Cyrus System is an odd animal. And it's not your typical everyday design project. In fact, it's way out there. So that's where you have to rely on communication with the people you're doing it with and what the printer is requiring as an end result Otherwise, the designer may go through all this rigmarole and creating all these layers that may just confuse everybody further down the line. So what I'm doing, what I'm setting up as the designer side is just a symbol with a specific point width for each one of the, you know, the outlet has to be a certain point width because that's what we decided will build up the varnish nicely. If it's smaller than that, it doesn't work as well. It may topple or slide off to the side or something. And yeah. Then that's just all I need to know. That's all I need to do as a designer. But then when I get on the machine, I need a whole different set of instructions in my head to work with.
And it's funny because here we're talking about going super thick. And Natalie, you weren't on, I think it was two months ago, we had a meeting where we had just figured out, we had talked to somebody who did a lot of consumer focus group testing. And they had said anything really above 40 microns in thickness was being perceived as cheap. So like Shutterfly runs
gaudy was the word, right. But
right, so sometimes that thick functional look runs contrary to what people see as high perceived value, which is right around that 30 to 40 micron thickness range. But really interesting.
I'd still like to contest that at some point with another study, because I'm not so sure that that's just one focus group. But right. All of my clients that I deal with here are very high-end clients. We're talking about Make-A-Wish, Ryder, DHL, you know, big corporations. If I don't lay on, if I'm not at 53 to 73 microns, they don't like it.
Interesting. Well, see, that's why we have groups like this to have conversations about what you guys like as creators and designers.
And kind of tack on to what Matt was saying about communication, I can share something that me and my operator we've been working on, and I think this has been great. I love collaborating with Ricky, our operator, because I'll be designing something and doing something, and I'll just pop out to Ricky, this is what I'm doing, what are your thoughts? And he's already starting to get an idea of how he wants to run this. Or if, let's say, we're doing something really blocky and something fine detail, we're going to split that up into two passes so that he can run that block properly and then rerun it for that fine detail. Mm-hmm. And then like what Matt's saying, like building up those towers and layers, if we're doing something like that, after I rip the file, what I'll do is if I have a specific intention, like, all right, run block A and then B and then C, I'll design three different layers. Mm-hmm. And then I will rip each layer, and then I'm going to label each layer on the file system. So in the odd event I can't be next to him, he's going to nail it or get real close anyways to what's intended.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, just label your stuff.
So you're going to 001. You're going to create, let's say doing a straight line or a circle, it has an outline, you're going to lay down the first layer is going to be 3.5 points, the second layer is going to be 2 points, and the third layer is going to be 1.5 points. You're going to export those as three different layers, three different masks that go to the machine, and then you're going to label them first pass, second pass, third pass, or one of one, you know, one of three, two of three. Yeah. Yeah, that type of thing. I usually do one of three, two of three, three of three. That way, there's absolutely no question as to how many layers that needs to build up to. But it's an unusual situation. We don't do it very often.
That's smart. That's smart. Harvey, do you want to introduce yourself to the group? Are you shy? We understand either way.
I'm not shy. the thing I do merges data. I've been called Earth's reigning VDP wizard. Everything, and you can see behind me, that's all digital stuff. If it's not die cut and if it doesn't have a name on it, I'm not interested. I gotta, everything I do is die cut, hand assembled, and generates high responses because that's what clients need.
Very cool. So are you a printer or are you a designer?
I ran a direct marketing firm for 35 years. And from 1999 on, I had 6 digital presses in my office. I became hybrid and a real believer of digital and personalization and And Sabina, she gave me a gold medal when she was judging the Xerox Pixie Awards in 2000.
Oh my gosh, you and I go that far back, Harvey? Look at
and
that.
And you never forgot my origami fish with your name on it.
There is that, yes.
So I'm a printer. Printing is a big thing. I've tested everything online and all that. The problem that I see is that the theories of the 70s, get the message out as many people as possible for as cheap as possible, is killing the industry. And if you took that budget and just went after 50 prospects, you'll be closing more business than you know what to do with.
Brian, do you want to chime in here? Did you sit in on my talk?
I'm sorry?
Did you bring out that one?
I'm sorry?
So that was part of my talk last week. It was like, you know, exclusivity is key. Don't go a mile wide and a quarter inch deep. Rather go a quarter inch wide and a mile deep, because the effect you get, you can get much more of an OMG effect from the client, not a response from the client, and thus higher conversion, as opposed to doing it mass.
You cannot get mass response. The lowest.
That was the idea behind it. Uh-huh.
If you'll indulge me, some of the things that I have been able to accomplish is here. Like, those are postcards, but they're all die cut and personalized. And we were generating a 40% response rate on them.
Yeah, try that with anything else. Yeah.
I was able to put faces into a three-dimensional Christmas card, much like what we used to do with Blue Cross. We broke every record in the book. And there's the origami fish again. We made thousands of them. It was just, you're at the beginning here. And you have to educate the graphic designer of tomorrow.
Yeah.
But graphic design is just a part of the element necessary for a company to reach out and look for new business. Mm. It has to be well written, well thought out, and personalized. I love gold foil. It's all over the place here. But die cutting, you have to engage people. And when they get it, they have to open it up and they have to look at it, have to make it smile. And if you make them smile, that's your emotional reaction.
That's right. Well, it's funny because we always, I think, internally at Tactful with the team, we're really sad because not a lot of people are taking advantage of variable data embellishments. I think, I don't know, anybody here who does embellishments, I mean, how much variable data are you actually running? Brandy, do you guys do a lot of that? Or?
I wouldn't say we do a lot of it. We do some. We want to do more.
I think everybody wants to do more. But the problem is people are just not thinking about it that way or not leveraging it, I think. And it's too bad because I remember the first time we did it. Sabine, the first time I did it, I was at a trade show. It was the first time we did foil digitally. I think it was at IPEX back in the day. And we figured out how to just type somebody's name. We were printing out these giant calendars with the shoe and the snake. And some of you guys might remember that sample. And then we found out that we could actually type people's name directly on the press and put your name in gold on this calendar. And what ended up happening, there was like a line that went like three booths deep, just people just waiting to get their calendar with gold. And I go, man, this is going to be huge. And I visited some of those people like 4 or 5 years later, and they had like a four-year-old calendar still on the wall. Which was totally, the dates were totally wrong. Didn't it all line up? But it was still on their wall because it was their name in gold and they couldn't throw it away. They couldn't bring themselves to throw it away. So I always felt that there was something there that, as an industry, we're not at all capitalizing on.
No, we are not.
You have to make clients understand they have to collect data and they have to deploy it. And it's your job to be able to access the data. And literally, you know, you're talking about somebody getting something that's multi-level and dimensional, and it's got their name all over it. They can't throw it away. They have to show it to everybody else in the office.
Right.
We've actually had clients call us up. The president of the company changed, and the new president wants what the old one got. We had to make more pieces. you know. And you have to learn how to sell it. You have to learn how to present it. And you have to learn how to make it work. I mean, Eric, I used to write for you guys as the samurai of sales, okay? And I never looked at myself as a salesperson. I've taught most of the colleges in New Jersey. But essentially, you have to explain to the customer that they have to start collecting data. The more you know about your customer, the more business you're going to get by addressing the needs.
Yeah. We are all salespeople. Good to see you, Harvey.
Yeah.
Now I make videos because videos are the way, you know, you can educate people.
Where do we see them?
I just built a site. I've only got two of them up. I'm going to get eight. But if you go to YouTube and look up Harvey's Marketing Secrets, you'll see something on public relations. You'll see something on why you need to develop your own product. And I use the origami fish as one. I used to make them as a kid. And then I figured out how to die cut and put the scores in the paper and then print on it. So I managed to get a patent in 2003 that allowed me to die cut a template and then run it through a digital press, pop it out, and be in the mail in minutes.
Hey, I found your YouTube channel. I'm putting it in the chat for everybody.
Okay, great. Thank you.
If you want to do anything on personalization, I'd be happy to supply you with stuff that you can't imagine. We were making these boxes and getting 80% response.
Wow.
I mean, you're looking at, this is the future of printing. Right now, the printing industry is shrinking. It's terrible. But what you've been selling forces you to fight over pennies.
That's funny because I always had this idea, and I guess some of the designers here probably do some packaging, is like for Valentine's Day, getting like a Chanel gift box with my wife's name on it in Boston gold. And the idea behind that would be, you know, she'd use whatever the perfume, and when she's done, she'll throw the perfume away. But like that box gets repurposed for something else, right? You're going to put other stuff in there. Maybe she puts, I don't know, postcards, champagne course, I don't know, something. But the idea is Chanel is there in front of you from a branding perspective, is you don't throw that away because it's like in your daily eyesight. And I just honestly, I haven't seen anybody really do real one-to-one embellished campaigns for packaging, like for Valentine's Day or for birthdays or Mother's Day or stuff like that around that. I think it'd probably be a huge opportunity for brands to jump in on it.
Yeah, I think so too. It's definitely an important opportunity. But in my experience, there's a couple of blockers that stop the use of variable data printing. One, you have to deal with data. Data is an entirely different game than the technology to print. Second, you have to have the creativity to make something fun. For example, some of the examples you're mentioning, those are great examples that should inspire people. But the reality is that most of the customers that we're seeing are not really having this creativity to be able to make it work. No. And thirdly, here in Europe, we're also a little bit tight with some privacy regulations as well. Oh. So those are the factors that hinder this, at least from what I can see.
Yeah. Interesting.
You make a good point about the staying power of high-end boxes. As I was just going through, when my parents passed, going through a bunch of stuff at their house, and my stepdad literally has every Apple product box that he's ever purchased. I'm shit you not, there's probably...
You could sell them on eBay, they're worth a lot.
They're worth a lot.
30 or 40 freaking boxes of iPhones, iPads, laptops. He's got a whole shelf in his closet of boxes that just delivered the product. And there's no utility to them, because they're specific to fitting that product in there. So they're all, maybe I'll check out eBay before I throw them away.
So what happens is people buy those and then they resell vintage models of those as if they're in the original box. So they're included in an original box, and then they can sell that for even more.
Well, I mean, iPhone boxes that came out last year, they're going for $10 to $20 per box. On eBay.
But I mean, I shared that story, I guess, to underscore your point, Kevin, of a higher higher end packaging can serve more purpose than just delivering whatever it is, right? If you, I mean, we were just at, even at Paper Specs, the boxing segment that they, I guess it was who was it, Ryan, that did that the boxing segment?
Jeff Hernandez.
Yes. Yeah, classic color guys. Some of those boxes are like you would, I would keep them forever. I mean, I was trying to find a way to like steal one of them, the tape.
Oh, he had his eyes on you, you know.
He knows me well enough to know that he should have his eyes on me.
Well, hey, everybody. I wanted to mention that also Warren Werba is on the call. We haven't heard from him yet, which is surprising. Because he always has way too much to say for being a whisperer. It's like he usually can't keep his mouth shut. So how's it going, Warren?
I matured on Saturday. I had a birthday.
Okay,
the truth is I was out at the Marley Brothers last night and I got in really late and I have a brain fog today. So I'm a little quiet if you want the truth. But listening to all, the designers is one thing. I think to educate your clients is the designers and the printers have to work together to get samples out. If you don't get samples out, customers are stupid. And I don't say that in a disrespectful way, but they're busy, they're rushing. They don't even give you the time to properly explain something because they're doing 10 things at once. When you send it out like direct mail, stuff sits on the desk. It looks, people have time to play with it and rub it and see. And I mean, I don't throw stuff out generally. I don't think people out there throw nice stuff out. And that is really the best way. I was a printer. Everything we did was samples. Like me making samples was giving the salespeople an excuse to go see the customer and not talk about the sale. Talk about what we're doing. Talk about what we have to offer. And you know what happens when you're there? All of a sudden, the customer has an idea. It's your idea, but they think it's their idea. And then they start talking to you, and then the other people that you're competing against aren't doing that. Mm. And they're not going to do it because nobody listens, right? And then you have a great opportunity. But it's producing samples, it's getting to the creative people on the customer side and working it. If you're a designer, if you're a printer, I mean, was mentioned before, sometimes the printer gives a hard time. Move on. Send your printer a note and say, you're done. I'm not putting up with this shit. I got two other printers with the same equipment. And they're happy to do whatever I ask because we're learning together to build our businesses. So it's all in how you're going to talk and position yourself, but don't listen to the printer.
Yeah, when it comes to embellishments, one of the smartest things that I've heard, I don't know that I've necessarily seen it, is like samples that have maybe like a CMYK and then an embellished side to actually physically show the difference of what embellishment can do.
Now, Eric, if you would have gone to this show last week, what was it called? They had name badges that showed the traditional and as well as the digital side, if you then paid attention.
Well, not only did I pay attention, but I...
Thank you, Brandon.
There it is.
I have mine as well, and I fought for that information. Thank you very much. I tried to get the exclusive, and you were like, can't tell you.
Well, that was early in the morning.
And that was a really good idea, though, because, that example, though, Sabine, I thought was just like, That difference to me was really kind of more subtle than it was striking, right? Like seeing just regular print and then embellish that regular print. The two different types of embellishment was really, really interesting to see because Ryan, I don't think you did either, flip one side and go, oh, that's traditional, that's digital.
Kevin, can you please mark this as the bean one?
Oh, for sure.
On the board. It's on the board.
I've already checked that box for sure. That was really
brilliant. That was the whole idea.
Yeah, you guys.
Because people think they have to run. There's only one way to do things, and we wanted to show that there's various ways.
Yeah, and good on you for demonstrating that in a very obvious and tactile way. Like we had it hung around our necks the whole day.
Yeah. Everybody on this call should have an embellished business card. And it doesn't necessarily have to be 2.5 by 3. When I did mine originally, it was actually Matt who designed them. And it was a fold over with a cut with an embellishment on one side. And I have people who still comment on it. If nothing else, they get it in their hand. And I come across too many people that say, Business cards, don't need them anymore. If you're a printer or you're in the print world and you don't have one, shame on you. I'm standing in a store the other day, and perfect example, guy standing behind me knocks on my shoulder. I turn around and his card's in my face and he says, I do haircuts. And I just started cracking up because I don't need a haircut.
Really?
And then he said, well, I shave also. And we're laughing. And I said, talk to the guy behind you. But here's a young entrepreneur, a young barber. And what's he doing? He's in a bigger retail store standing in line with people. And he's giving out business cards.
Yeah.
Right? Do that with an embellished card, bigger than the average. Make it 2¾ by 3⅛. Just so it's bigger and stands out over the others. You must have that stuff. If you don't, then you can't talk embellishment.
Well, and it doesn't even have to be super complicated, right? Because some of the business cards that get my attention the most is just soft touch. It just simply has soft touch coating on it. It doesn't have a whole lot of raised stuff. And to be honest with you, the number one comment we ever got on the magazine, this is hard because this is a What They Think magazine, by the way, is the soft touch. They would talk to me forever about how the magazine felt. And it's like, do you read the thing? Like, can we talk about the content? And of course, I mean, people mostly like the content, but the feel of something, whether it be a business card, a magazine, a brochure, whatever the heck it is it's so, so important. And one of the business cards that I got at Paper Specs from someone was just it just looked very ordinary, but it felt cool because it had a coating, just a coating. It didn't have a bunch of raised stuff or foil or all that. So you can go, I mean, raised stuff and foil is awesome. And my cards are embellished. Our cards are embellished. But just
you
even
know, and
just,
the soft touch coatings have vastly improved. Ryan can tell you this. They have improved a lot. It used to be that the laminate, you know, the soft touch laminate was so much better than a coating, UV or even innocuous soft touch. But now that is caught up. And so you can do it economically. You know, adding a soft touch laminate adds a lot of cost to your project, a lot of cost to your printed project.
Yeah, and time.
Absolutely.
And
time.
Yeah, and time.
Coating can be done very reasonably. I'm going to make one quick comment. We're talking about, the print versus embellished, the same image, the same thing. And, we brought this up, Kevin, Eric, and Matt, and several, Sabine, several, Ryan, I think, everybody that was at Printing United, we've done a brand new study that was done with a car wash, and I'm not going to get into the details, but if anybody's, we did part of them with the same image printed, part of them with an embellished image with both textured coating and foil, and had some really wonderful results. We'll be sending out a full release and some more information on that soon. But it was great for embellishments overall, the results we got from that study, and it was done digitally, so digital embellishments even better. But we're going to have that available very soon.
Nice.
Very cool. Very cool.
And Matt, you had the Dolly Parton example, which I thought was really people.
That was a mind bender.
People still reacted to
this
to that.
Day.
I missed Dolly. Dolly was there, and I missed her.
You did.
What was texture UV coating on a Dolly Parton?
Hey, Kevin, on the scoreboard.
What part was textured
on the scoreboard?
Yeah.
All right. Sabine lost that one. But so, no, I don't know if you can, like, you kind of have to visually see that, or you can kind of explain it. It's a perception thing.
So what happened? Yeah. Those of us who weren't there have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, I'm going to keep it really quick because we're almost out of time, and I got two other things I want to go over. So what happened is I talked about the perception and how when you lay down foil and or varnish or a combination of the two can actually change the perception of the piece overall in ways that's unpredictable and it's completely subjective to the customer. Of course, you have to go by what the customer's experience is. You know, you have to do what they want to do. So I did one piece. It was her, I wish I had one here. It was a little bookmark. It was 2x6 that went in her books for her 200 million books through the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. And the lucky recipients for children 1 through 5, free books mailed out each month. She sends all these books out. It's a giant book mobile, basically. She put the bookmarks in random books. The children that received them actually it was like a golden ticket. And what they were able to do with it was redeem it for, there were several prizes that they had. Here's a picture of a little girl with her ticket receiving it. It was just the cutest thing. I started getting these all over my inbox of these kids receiving their golden ticket because they won all this stuff. But I put, I thought, well, I'm going to give them an extra choice because they said how they wanted it. And I said, well, I think maybe this other choice would look fancier. So around the word 200, it said 200 and then million underneath. And the words were set, the letters were set in like diamonds. So I put a gold foil, a pinline pinstripe of gold foil around the edge of that. And everything else was the same. There was varnish on the logo. There was the gold foil frame that went around the edge. And the only difference was I put the outline of foil on the 200 on one and just varnish of an outline of the 200 on the other and presented them both. Said, which one do you like better? Cost the same either way. And then they came back and said, we like the one that Dolly's skin is pinker and brighter.
Huh. But there was no difference in that image.
It was off the same press sheet.
Wow.
It was printed at exactly the same time on the same machine, on the same sheet of paper.
And so was that with the foil or with the varnish that gave the pinker face?
The varnish only gave the pinker face. The foil, they thought, made her look darker.
So the reflection, maybe.
Yeah, it had something to do with the way that it threw the light because their focus was Dolly.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? I thought that was super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing I wanted to talk about today, although Catherine Hess is not on the call, I wanted to go over her amazing design skills. She's one of those people that usually joins this meeting and just kind of hovers over in the corner and won't say anything. Well, I see her everywhere I go. She was at Printing United at the booth next to H&B, and she had a booth there at Sabine's at Paper Specs Live in Chicago. It's always fun running into her because it's like I feel like it's my duty to pull her out of her shell. And I would really like for her to talk to us, you know, about her perspective on design as well as anyone else in this call. I warned her, I said, next time you're on the call, I'm going to call you out. Maybe that's why she's not here. So
you can't honestly, warn them.
Also, we've been acquired by another company. We're merging and this place is chaos. We got a lot of new machinery coming in that's going to expand our capabilities here at Blue Ocean Press, which is my day job. And one of the things that Brandstar, the parent company, is going full tilt on pushing with their clientele, which are very high-end people, are physicals, all kinds of physicals. So if there's a promotion or something that needs invitations or whatever, there's additional physicals involved. For an example, I wanted to show you this. This is a press sheet. This is for Feeding South Florida. And it's just a gold medallion with their logo, which is like a wheat motif in clear varnish at 86. No, that's 102. That's 102 microns of varnish so that it stands out really well. It's also foiled on the back. And what it turns into, it's a hang tag or a medallion that goes on. See how that's cut out with the little tag? And then they put a ribbon through the tag. They put the envelope in, they put the invitation in the envelope and wrap it with a purple band that goes through this little medallion, this little hole at the top.
Oh, so it's part of the envelope?
It's a medallion.
Yeah, this is just a little medallion that hangs off the envelope so that when they receive it, it's something that's going to be handed to them. So something when they receive it, it's like a gift with a gift tag on it. But it's got their little logo on it. It's really quite clever. And it's oh so simple to run, but it actually has, it's on like 130 pound.
Yeah.
And it actually feels quite substantial as if it were a coin. And so that's their little hook. That's their little catch for their physical on that particular job. Just something I wanted to share with you. Does anyone have any other closing ideas, remarks, comments, statements? We'd love to hear it before we need to get off.
Can I chirp in?
Yeah,
sure.
So when I moved down here to West Palm Beach,
oh,
I still too young to retire, so this is my business card.
Ah!
Warren!
That's for Warren.
Right up your alley.
I love it.
So nice. I would love to have foil scales on this little baby.
Oh, that can be done.
Or it's clear hollow.
That can be done. And did you know?
Challenge.
Yeah. Did you know that you can also print on top of foil?
Yeah, so I've done that.
I'm working on a job right now that goes to the Iridesse, then it goes to the MGI, then it goes back to the Iridesse, then it goes back to the MGI.
Wow. Imagine a clear foil, a clear holographic foil for the scales.
Could work.
An iridescent clear.
It's a red-bellied piranha, so we'd have to have a little texture in there.
That's awesome.
You could do that with Cast and Cure, Kevin, too, potentially.
Good.
That clear holographic
look. So, yeah. If I can, and I don't really promote this, but if you could Google Marketing is War, Harvey Hirsch, you will see a box that we created that generated 80% response out of only 22 boxes.
Wow.
And the first project was $35,000. So I'm really into the ROI type of thing.
Yeah, there's a lot that I would really like to learn from you. I hope you can join our calls in the future, because VDP is people just think of it as this unmanageable beast.
No. Where are you located? In Florida.
I'm in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, you're an hour south of me.
Awesome.
I can come down there and change the way you think about marketing.
What are you doing tomorrow?
I bet you.
I want to see this.
I'll take three.
Yeah, it's a challenge here because they've been doing it wrong here for the last decade, and then our pre-press guy died, and I had to take it over, and I'm like, that's not how it's done. And I'm still fighting that. In my absence last week, they set up a mail job that was like 10,000 postcards, and it took almost 24 hours to run it because it was set up wrong. It was the wrong type of file setup.
Well, I'm going to try to get $10 a sheet.
There you go.
$10 a sheet, and I'll show you how to do it.
I love it.
All right, let's talk.
All right, guys, listen, our time is up, unfortunately, but it's been a great discussion. I'd like to thank Matt, and I'd like to thank all of you guys for joining and making such a great discussion. I'd like to especially thank our main sponsor, MGI Digital Technology, for making this a reality, as well as our co-sponsors PaperSpecs with Sabine and the Digital Embellishment Alliance with Jeff. Thanks, guys, for your support. It means a lot. Let's keep growing this community, and if you have some fun projects that you want to talk about next time or show off, we'll be posting it on LinkedIn. And thanks everybody for joining. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.